This is the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys Network. Here's your host, Will Hill.
Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys. Coming up on the show, Brad Powers, professional college football handicapper, will join us. We have a big college football weekend ahead. Oregon, Ohio State, Ole Miss, LSU, Red River rivalry. It's a great college weekend. I haven't spent that much time on the college. It's been more NFL, a lot of baseball. So we'll spend some time with Brad, but we will start with baseball as half of the Final Four is set. And so far it is all New York teams. We are 8 combined wins away from a Subway Series. The Yankees advanced Thursday night with a tidy 3-1 win over the Royals after winning 3-2 on Wednesday, getting a big home run from Stanton. So it will be the Yankees versus the winner of the Tigers-Guardians game, which will be Saturday. And the Yankees, not only do they advance, but they catch a major, major break, because if they do get Detroit in the ALCS, Detroit has to pitch Skubal here in Game 5. So they wouldn't see Skubal until Game 3. It's possible, hey, if things go the way they hope they want, then they'll only see Skubal that one game. You'd hope if you're the Yankees. So a major break. It was looking like Tigers would win and close it out. Had a lead late in the game. Four, Fry for Cleveland hits a homer. Cleveland hangs on, wins the game by a run, and they stay alive to force a game five. So we have two game fives, one on Friday, one on Saturday. The Friday game is Padres-Dodgers. That's been a fun series. That's an intense rivalry. So that's our Friday game. That will be an exciting game, while the Mets and the Yankees just sort of put their feet up and wait for who's coming. The Sunday will be the start of the NLCS, so the Mets will play the winner of San Diego, LA. I'm sure they're, head out to LA at some point and figure whether they're going to San Diego, or they'll head out to California at some point and figure what we're either going to LA or San Diego to start game one. That'll be 8:00 Eastern on Sunday. Then Monday, 8:00 Eastern, Yankees will host the winner of the Tigers Garden. So the Yankees actually get a couple days off. You do get to reset your pitching, but Judge was just starting to get in a roll. Stanton was hot. You wonder if the time off, not ideal, but hey, you take it, you let these other teams beat each other up, and you wait for the winner. So Yankees advance. Mets, we talked about a couple days ago with Dave Ross, they continue their magic on Wednesday, as I'm sure people saw, down 1-0, leaving a million guys on. Lindor comes up with one of the more iconic hits, really, in franchise history, a grand slam, 4-1. They hang on for dear life. Diaz starts walking the ballpark in the ninth, but made pitches when he needed to make them pitch. And the Philly side of this, the Phillies kind of got Philly, because the last 2 years, the Phillies didn't win the division, but they won the play-in round, the wild card round, 2 years ago against St. Louis, last year against Miami, and they come in the hot team, and they beat the team that won the division. They beat Atlanta, who was sitting around, and Atlanta, who has all the pressure on them. This year was the inverse. Philly was waiting around. Philly had all the pressure on them, and the Mets come in and win 3 out of 4, and really could have won all four, because even the game the Mets lost was a game where the Mets had a lead in the a 3-run lead in the sixth, then another lead in the eighth. So I've seen all the shows talk about what's wrong with Philly, what should they do. I know they swing and miss too much, but hey, this is a good team all year. I know they came up short last year. It's just it's the way baseball is. There's so much randomness to it, and I do think there's something needs to be done, something should be done about the format. And this is we talk about this every time this time of year. This is just something that constantly comes up. It's not fair to the teams that sit around, because baseball is a game of rhythm. You play every day and you earn the right to have a bye, which it's supposed to be an advantage, which it is, just because you can't lose during your bye. But these teams do get a little rusty. These teams do get a little tight. And I think there's Jimmy Rollins on TBS who made the suggestion, make the wild card round be a doubleheader, get it over as soon as possible, whether it's the Monday after the season, the Tuesday after the season. If they need to play a game three, you play the next day, and you maybe give them one travel day, and then you go back into it where these teams are not waiting around for 5-6 days. Maybe they're only waiting around for, ideally 3 days. And you could say, hey, it's not fair to the teams that, having the play-in round. It's not supposed to be fair. The teams that earn the bye, they're supposed to be an advantage in terms of earning the bye. So I don't know if they'll ever do that, but I do like the idea of, hey, the wild card round, make them play a doubleheader. And then if they have to play this third and deciding game, make them play that next day. And that gives these teams that earn the bye, less time to get rusty. It's more of an advantage where, hey, you stay in rhythm. You let these teams that have to play in the wild card use all their pitching, and it's more of an advantage, because it almost feels like a disadvantage that you have to sit around. Now, look, the Yankees advance. The Mets might be the only team in the wild card round that does advance. So maybe it's a lot about nothing, but I do think there's something to it where this isn't the ideal formula. But the playoffs have been great. I mean, baseball feels like it's having a moment dating back to couple Mondays ago, that doubleheader Mets Braves where Lindor hits the dramatic home run in that game, and that was just such a wild game. Then Alonso hits the homer, Mets Brewers. These games have been intense. These games have been competitive. Dodgers Padres has been fun. Cleveland Detroit game, go ahead home run, pinch hit, go ahead home run on Thursday. So these games have been just absolutely tremendous. And I've been on this theme for a couple weeks now. I thought that a Subway Series was possible, and I still think, you know, a Subway Series is very possible. I don't say likely, but I think the Yankees are getting home. I think they caught a break with, well, I would think Detroit's going to win this game five. So if you get Detroit, man, in your building, home field advantage, no Scooble till game three, Yankees are going to be a monster favorite and should win that series. And you know, the bullpen is stabilized. Holmes is a guy people beat up, and you know, for good reason. He wasn't good during the regular season at times. He was very spotty, but he has been lights out in these playoffs. He's really been good his whole playoff career. And Cole and Stanton, the two guys that Yankee fans love to beat up on. They make a lot of money. They're not clutch. Cole never comes through. And look, Cole, that game against Boston in the playoffs, the wild card round a couple years ago, it's going to stick to him for a while. But his numbers, he's got a .88 whip for his career in the divisional round. He's got a 2.05 ERA in the divisional round. He has been a good, really good playoff pitcher. Okay, that was one start against Boston where, I remember, he was coming off a bad hamstring a couple weeks before, and Boston owns him, Devers owns him, but his body of work is absolutely fantastic in the playoffs. This idea that, you know, he's the Yankees version of Kershaw, or he's a righty version of Kershaw, is just ridiculous. And there was this narrative that Stanton wasn't good in the playoffs too, which has been anything but the truth. Stanton gets big hits. Now look, he's been hurt way too much since the Yankees got him, but Cole comes through, Stanton comes through. So two guys that get a lot of crap from Yankee fans. They are the ire of a lot of people's Yankee fans, really, their disgruntlement. Those two guys absolutely carry the Yankees to the next round. Judge has not done a lot. You could start to see the seeds of Judge getting better swings, but it was Stanton with the big homer in game three. Cole with a great performance in game four. Now you have to hold your breath with the ball in the seventh inning. It looked like it was Massey who it looked like tied the game. That ball would have been out in a lot of ballparks, but we're not playing in a lot of ballparks. We were playing in Kansas City, and the ball dies at the track, and Soto makes the play. So the games have been fun. The games have been really fun. I don't have a great feel for Padres-Dodgers. I was surprised the Padres, that's a bad job by the Padres not closing that out in four, because you had Cease going against a bullpen game for the Dodgers. That you're at home. You know, you'd won two in a row. No Freeman for the Dodgers. I thought that was a game where the Padres could close it out, and the Dodgers just jumped on them early, scored a bunch of runs. The bullpen scenario worked out for them. So that was a bad loss for the Padres. I kind of get the sense the Dodgers have been snake bitten in these series. I have a sense that the Padres, that the Dodgers are going to break through and win this. Now it's Darvish for the Padres. It looks like it's going to be Yamamoto for the Dodgers, but the Dodgers are going to march out Flaherty. They're going to use a million arms, which again, that plays into the Mets' favor, because they're going to have to turn around. Whoever wins is going to have to turn around and play a couple days later in the NLCS. So a break for the Mets, a break for the Yankees. These teams that are hanging around can just sit here and watch these other teams beat each other up. I'll go Dodgers in five. I'll go Dodgers. Obviously, it's going to be in five. I'll go Dodgers winning the game. I just feel like they're due for the ball to bounce their way a little bit in the playoffs. I think they've been a little bit snake bitten, and it feels like San Diego missed their opportunity to close out the series. And I'll stick with Detroit. I think, you know, you went into game three with Detroit. Just say, hey, just get a split, and we have Scooble for game five. I think that'll hold up here. I think people are getting a little too comfortable just penciling Scooble in as a win. He's not that good, but he has been lights out. Cleveland hasn't really hit. So I'll pick Detroit to win their game five, and I'll pick LA to win their game five and set up what should be a final four. If you get Mets, Dodgers, and look, Yankees against the upstart Tigers, that is a fun final four. And these games have been good. These games have been competitive. So great week of baseball. Catch your breath a little bit with one game five on Friday, one game five on Saturday. Then we get into the AL and NLCS starting Sunday. So exciting time. Before we get to Brad Powers, just quickly, a couple of NFL picks, because it is Friday. I want to give some picks before we do all college with Brad. I will go Broncos +3 against the Chargers. I just think this line assumes perfect health for the Chargers. I don't know. Like, if you flipped home fields here, you'd say the Chargers are favored by 6 points against the Broncos. That doesn't seem right. Last time we saw the Chargers, Herbert was banged up. The offensive line was banged up. Denver has turned into an underrated team here. They've got a good defense. It's a low total. This game is total of 35.5. So those 3 points are extra valuable. So I'll go Denver +3. And I've gotten burned with this team before, but I'll go with the Titans +2.5 I just think they're off of a bye. They're playing Indianapolis. They're home against Indianapolis. The Colts are all beat up with no Taylor, Pittman. I don't know who's playing quarterback. Richardson's banged up as well. I actually prefer Richardson to Flacco, but I think this is a spot where the Titans are a little underrated because they let the Bears game get away. They had a chance to beat the Jets. This team could easily, they're 1-3. They probably should be 2-2. They're probably closer to, 3-1 than they are 1-3 right now. So I think the Titans are a little underrated. I'll go Titans -2.5, Broncos +3. I don't have a great feel for like a third game. So I will go with those two for my picks. And then we have a great college weekend. So man, what a weekend with all of these baseball games, NFL, and then a great college slate with Oregon, Ohio State, Ole Miss, LSU, Oklahoma, Texas. Boy, these are fun, fun games and a fun weekend. Just man, this is the best time of the year. So we will discuss all of those college games and more next with Brad Powers. That is next. This is the Should Have Bet More podcast. All right, we are back. Should Have Bet More podcast. A big college football weekend on tap. Nobody better to talk to than our next guest. You can catch him. Hit the Books podcast, Beating the Book. It is the great Brad Powers. Brad, how's your season going, man? What's going on? Thanks for coming on.
That's going well. Thanks for having me on. Looking forward to this big weekend, but they're all big. I mean, just when you think they're not, last weekend happens.
Last week is a perfect example of just why we love this sport. Just a crazy weekend. Before we get to some of these games, big picture, sort of 6 weeks in. Before the season, a popular prop was Georgia, Ohio State versus the field. It was a coin flip at some books. Would you say like 6 weeks in that things maybe are a little more wide open than we thought and not as top heavy?
Yeah, a little bit more wide open, although I still think that's a decent price. I still obviously think Ohio State and Georgia are two of the top three teams. We'll see what Texas has. They finally play somebody this week in Oklahoma, who I still think is a little overrated. But yeah, it's a little more wide open. I would say teams 5 through 10, figuring that out, who's going to actually make the playoff, who wants to make the playoff. Georgia's, not as probably good as expected so far. Ohio State might be a little bit better. Again, we're going to find out with that one on Saturday night because Ohio State really hasn't played anybody. So, a little more wide open, although I'd be surprised if it's not Ohio State or Georgia personally.
Anybody to make the playoffs that you think is worth a shot? Can you get into this Army-Navy story? Indiana, I actually had a guy, Kev O'Neill, on my podcast this summer, gave out Indiana 500-1 to make the playoffs. I see they're like 3-1 in some spots. Anyone you think is worth a stab to make the playoffs at currently constituted?
That Indiana ticket looks pretty good because they're going to be favoring every game but one, the Buckeyes down the stretch. I hear you on the Army-Navy. I just think right now, I think the winner of the Mountain West is in probably the best position, Boise or UNLV. Particularly they might have two wins, or if one wins both of those games. Outside of that, I'll say this about the playoff. I am not dived into it too much this season, but I am seeing unbelievably wild swings from a week to week basis. It's a market that I have to attack next year. You get plus money, yes or no, in a matter of a week on a lot of these teams at the top.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's get into some of these games. The big one, Ohio State at Oregon. We're looking at Ohio State, 3.5 in some spots, total 53. It'd be Oregon or nothing for me. I could see an under just because I think Oregon's played pretty well defensively. They haven't been able to finish drives on offense. I think if anything, Ohio State's going to run the ball, which will shorten the game. Do you have any feel for this game?
I don't. I'm not afraid to make a bet. I've already made about 50 for the week. This game hasn't been one of them. I mean, I made it 3. So, I mean, the old school 1998 handicapper understands why people are taking the home dog. But I got to see it from either team. Neither one has been involved in a game with a point spread of less than 17 so far. I know Boise State almost beat Oregon. I haven't been impressed with Oregon on film. Ohio State certainly had a good, second half against Iowa. They started to look the part, in my opinion. Under, if you had to play it, I agree with you. Under seems most likely. And again, that's kind of an old school, first big game for both teams, slower tempo. They feel each other out. Maybe under first half's the really way to attack this one.
How about Texas, Oklahoma? We've seen in this this rivalry a lot of big dogs win outright. I don't know that this is an Oklahoma team with this offensive line, with this quarterback, that can pull off that. If anything, for me, it'd be probably, Oklahoma team total under 16.5. Are you willing to take it, lay any position on this game for you?
Well, I mean, I usually make good bets in the summer when I bet game of the years. I thought I had a really good bet with Oklahoma plus 10.5. Obviously, I do not have a good bet now. That's a terrible one. I hear you. It's usually a rivalry game. A lot of times it's dog or nothing for me, but I don't see a pathway here for Oklahoma. They've been outgained on the season so far. Hawkins at quarterback's fine. He gives him a little bit of a dual threat, but I mean, I really question the passing game. You want to talk about cluster injuries. The last time we saw Oklahoma in the Auburn game, their top five wide receivers were out, and they probably should have won the game if not for, should have lost the game if not for a pick six. So it looks like Quinn Ewers just got upgraded to probable. I don't know if there's a significant difference between him and Arch Manning at this point, but I can only look to play Texas here.
Ole Miss laying 3.5 on the road against LSU. There's some threes. There's some 3.5s. Total 63.5. Ole Miss, we'll see about the defense. It really, you know, they haven't been tested. Obviously, they played Kentucky, and Kentucky beat them. Kentucky's more of a defensive team. Do you believe in this Ole Miss defense? Do you believe enough to get involved one way or another here?
Yeah, I mean, just eye test says Ole Miss is the clearly superior team. Spot says LSU. Haven't played this side yet. Did play a little under. I thought the mid-60s is a little high for this matchup. I mean, Ole Miss gets this, and Lane Kiffin gets this reputation for being high scoring and whatnot. You know, defensively, the last couple of years, they've been fine with Pete Golding. So, I mean, you look at them, I mean, they're 5-1 in the under so far this year. So, I did play a little bit under. But you're right. They haven't played a legitimate offense yet. I mean, LSU's good offensively, but they're certainly not great like they were a year ago.
Any other games outside of these marquee matchups that you really like?
Oh, well, yeah, a lot of them. There's just, you know, this time of year, you're starting to get, you know, your power rating shouldn't be that far off. So you got to get in the weeds here a little bit. There's one, it's a very, you know, unpredictable situation going on right now, but it's a Memphis, South Florida game. It just got rescheduled to Saturday. I like Memphis, not because necessarily the Hurricane, although I think South Florida's practice schedules will be completely discombobulated this week. I like Memphis because I don't think South Florida's quarterback's going to play. I think people forgot that he got hurt at the end of the Tulane game. He's in a walking boot on the sidelines. Tulane or South Florida had a bye last week. So I think Byron Brown's out and he's worth 3-4 points a line. And that's not being properly priced into this number with Memphis opening back up at 7.5. So I like Memphis. Another spot play, I like Pitt laying the three. There's some 3.5s out there right now against Cal. Cal had their all-everything game. Game day's there. You blow a big lead. Now you're traveling across the country. I don't think they're going to have enough to hang with this outstanding Pitt offense.
How about Utah-Arizona State? I mean, it's the it's the never-ending discussion of who's going to play quarterback. Is Cam Rising going to play? I mean, who knows if, when we're going to see him. But laying a touchdown, 6.5 on the road against Arizona State team, an Arizona State that looks well-coached. Scadabo is actually obviously a hell of a player. Do you have any feel for this game? Would you take the points here?
I bet Utah, not at this number. I mean, it was much lower just, 24 hours ago. I mean, as low as, three in some markets. Yeah, I would think Cam Rising, if he's going to come back and play this year, this would be the spot off a bye. I like Utah off the loss. Arizona State's been, pretty impressive, but look who they played, though. Mississippi State, that has not aged well. Wyoming certainly hasn't aged well. I mean, they lost to Texas Tech. They're the only real decent team they played. Texas State's fine, but that game could have went either way. Last week could have went either way against Kansas. So I'm not fully bought into Arizona State. I think in a must-win off a bye spot, I like Utah here.
Another marquee game here, Penn State laying 5 against USC. Anything on that one?
Thought I'd be on Penn State, not at this number. In fact, I kind of like USC. I'm waiting to see it. It's because it's around a dead number. Well, where's this one going? Is it going up or down? Because, I mean, 6 or more is definitely a buy on USC for me. And I don't like this USC team. Penn State's offense to me is just not consistent. It's not like they played any world beaters so far. And just on a down-to-down basis, especially if Singleton doesn't play like again like he did last week, I can't lay this kind of number on the road against the USC team that's desperate already with 2 losses.
Which loss last weekend is more concerning long term? Tennessee, Bama, take it whatever direction you want to go. Which of these upsets, and you can take it the last couple weeks, which of these upsets you say, this is a major concern, or some of these you just kind of throw out and say, hey, it's college football, weird things happen?
Yeah, for me, it's more Bama, just because the defense the last 6 quarters, I mean, historically bad as far as Alabama standards. We haven't seen this type of defensive performance in probably 2 decades for Alabama. They just had a good first 20 minutes against Georgia, an incredible first 20 minutes. But the South Florida game, were outplayed for 50 some minutes of that game. Honestly, if Byron Brown hits a couple passes, they're trailing at that one. I don't think you can fix the defense at this point. I know you still have Jalen Milroe, you still have Williams at wide receiver, but I agree with Joel Klatt saying that this looks kind of like a Lincoln Riley Big 12 type of team, and it does. They're just going to have to outscore people. Tennessee, I'm not as worried about. because I like their defense. See, when you play defense consistently on a week-to-week basis, I think there's just more consistency. What they need is their young quarterback, Nico Iamaleava, to play a little bit better. And, boy, Heupel, clock management needs to be better than what he had, not only at the end of the first half, but obviously the end of the game. I'm okay with allowing the score, but, man, there's time and circumstance for everything. Arkansas's got a backup kicker. You still have two timeouts. So worst case scenario, you got 25, 30 seconds left and you're down two needing a field goal. I try to let my defense stop them there. I didn't like that.
No, I'm totally with you. Any of these conference futures you still think have meat on the bone, and you know, we can go through any of these odds you think are interesting, but do you jump in on, I know you make a bunch of bets before the season. Do you jump on these in the middle of the season? Or anything come to mind?
Well, I made like 40 of them in the summer. So I'm usually, when people ask me, I'm like, yeah, I'm already involved. Not necessarily at the best price possible, but one that I made late. And one of the reasons, and I'll further answer the question you asked me about Army Navy making the playoff, a team that I bet in the conference, I want to say like a week before the season, that I wasn't buying, but I was starting to read some good tea leaves, was Tulane in the American. I think they're by far the best team at this point. Almost beat Kansas State. The Oklahoma final was misleading. They dominated their opponents so far. That's a team that I'm liking a hell of a lot more. And Army and Navy got to win their conference, and they got to go through a team like Tulane. I just don't see it.
Yeah, and I know a popular one before the season was SMU, where the way they started that season, it looked dead. Now it's like, man, looking 6-1, where, hey, with their schedule, could they get to you know, a title game? Obviously Miami and Clemson, the short shots, but it's just funny. The wave of emotion, you go, oh, this bet is great bet. Now it's dead. Now it's good again. It's just funny back and forth.
Yeah. And the BYU loss is aging well. BYU hasn't lost a game, has, you know, covered every single game. So boy, what we thought in the preseason was going to be their toughest two game stretch, Florida State and Louisville, they passed the test easily. They're going to be favored in every game down the stretch. I still would like Miami if they're on a neutral. I like Clemson, Miami over them.
Yep, absolutely.
The team I'm looking to fade, though, I mean, come playoff time, come ACC championship game time, is Miami. You want to talk about narratives. We're two plays away from them wanting to, you know, fire Mario Cristobal in this incoming hurricane. Honestly, that's what their thought process would be if they didn't get a, you know, break in the Virginia Tech game and the Cal game.
That's a hell of a point. Any team you're looking to back just that you think is underrated? You mentioned Tulane. Anybody else? I know I live in Connecticut, and I was surprised Temple came let that game be as close as it was. That's been an underrated team. Anyone else you think is underrated here going forward?
Yeah, it's funny. I rode Connecticut until almost the wheels completely fell off last week. They were certainly that team for a few weeks there. Oh, man, I can tell you, the market loves Army more than any team. I mean, obviously, it's a fade against UAB as well. This week, I until you see different. I mean, those service academies look like they can consistently. I don't have to worry about their motivation. They're dialed in on a week-to-week basis. So, I mean, until you see anything different, I mean, how can you not back the service academies at this point?
Everyone's favorite conversation, Heisman. Anything you think is worth jumping in on? Obviously, Genty's the hot guy of the week. You know, Travis Hunter. Any of these quarterbacks at longer odds? Anything you're willing to bet right now?
Yeah, I think if you're looking to bet and jump in and haven't already, I think you got to bet a quarterback. So, look, I don't necessarily have a strong take on the Ohio State-Oregon game, but if you like Oregon and think Oregon's going to win, I would recommend you diversify your portfolio if you haven't already bet Dylan Gabriel. I mean, he's going to be if he has a great game, they win, he's going to be in the top three of the Heisman. So why not, you know, maybe take a flyer on him at 15-1 if you haven't already bet him. Carson Beck, keep an eye on him. I know he played poorly the first half against Alabama, but they got three big-time games coming up. Texas, Ole Miss, Tennessee. Plays well. They win a lot of those games. I'm not saying he's going to win the Heisman, but I've seen as high as 25-1 on him. I wouldn't mind that bet. And we'll see. If Quinn Ewers comes back, I mean, he might be back in the mix here. But I definitely think if you're going to make one Heisman bet, it's got to be a quarterback at this point, because I'm not sure that holds. A group of five running back and a guy playing two ways for a team that's probably going to lose four games, that market's going to change within a few weeks.
Totally with you. Last one before we get you out of here. Just big picture thoughts, college football, you know, NIL, transfer portal. We had the thing with Sluka a couple weeks ago. How is this different than it was 10, 15 years ago? Do you like this new way of college football, and what don't you like about it?
Man, I like a lot. I hate a lot. So I'm kind of like in the middle. As a bettor, there's a lot of things I like and don't like. I mean, I sometimes love the uncertainty. So, I mean, if I feel like I can price it better, then there's in some instances more value. But there's not much consistency. I mean, rosters are changing. I mean, I'm not built to be changing my power ratings, you know, 2-3 touchdowns on teams on a year-to-year basis. So it's a little harder. The job is harder to the point where I really don't handicap any other sport at this point, where I was handicapping 3 or 4. So there's that. I'm excited for the playoff to see what happens here. I'm excited about this new playoff market that I'm kind of been waiting and seeing how it's been priced this year, but that's been exciting. But I think everything else in the sport, I'm not necessarily a big fan. I think players should be paid, but I think there should be some structure in the contracts and whatnot. I don't think you should have the right just to leave your team like that. If there's a contract and it's not being fulfilled, then certainly you can break that. But there needs to be a little bit more structure here, and it makes my job a little bit easier, but it's still fun. I mean, you know, for anyone that's bashing it, look at last weekend. You know, it's supposed to be the worst week of the year, and it ended up being maybe the most memorable Saturday we'll have this year. So I still love the sport. I still love the passion. I still love, you know, throwing the goalpost in the river. That stuff hasn't changed, and I hope that remains the same, at least the passion among the student body.
Yep, totally with you, Brad. You are the best, man. I appreciate all the information. Appreciate the time. Let everyone know where they can find you.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter and X or whatever you kids are calling it these days, BradPower7. You can also head on over to the website, BradPowerSports.com.
Brad, appreciate it, man. Hopefully we'll catch up here down the road.
Right back at you, man. Thanks for having me.
That will do it. Thank you to Brad Powers. Rate, review, subscribe, enjoy what is just a tremendous weekend here. We'll be back Monday. See you then.